Hello there, we're in the Word House, House of the Rocky Nugu. Understand that God does His things through His Word, and nothing beyond it. It's our privilege, therefore, to minister God's Word to you. And we believe that as you listen and live by these principles you're about to hear, your life will definitely be transformed. Listen and be blessed.
In this place. Is there anyone going into a new season in this place? Come on, can you shout, I'm taking over.
Taking over.
I'm taking over.
Taking over.
It's a new day. It's a new season. It's my season of more money. If you believe, I see you taking over real estate. I see you taking over your profession. I see you taking over in the place where you work. I see you taking over in the school where you attend. I declare that you will take over. You will overtake those who started before you. Money will meet money in your hand. Doors will be open for you. Opportunities will collide with opportunities. I declare it's a new season. I declare it's a new day. The favor of the Holy Ghost will go before you. The speed of God shall be at your disposal. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. More money will enter your account. 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 More businesses will come to you. More deals will be closed by you. In the name of Jesus, you are taking over. You are taking over. You are taking over. Hallelujah. Give five people a high five and say to them, it's a new season. It's a new day. And you are taking over. You are taking over. Whether you like it or not, you are taking over. Some people are looking like somebody took over from you. As I say, you are taking over. You are looking like the one that they took over from. Come on, say boldly, I'm taking over. I'm moving with the speed of the Holy Ghost. You will overtake chariots. I said you will overtake chariots. In the mighty name of Jesus. Don't let anybody lie to you. Bad economy, bad economy. This is when some people are making money. Oh, and you are one of those people. I said you are one of those people. Go and read all of history. Every time there is a recession, that's when some people become multi-billionaires. I said you are one of them. I reject that amen. I said you are one of them. This, it will be your best season so far. I said this will be your best day in Nigeria so far. In the mighty name of Jesus. All right. 1 John chapter 3 verse 2. 3 John verse 2. I'm sorry, it's 3 John. And 3 John has only one chapter. All right, so let's do it together now. 2, go. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. I declare once again, you will prosper physically, you will prosper in your soul, and your bank account will prosper. The works of your hands will prosper. And when prosperity comes, you'll be alive to enjoy the prosperity. You're alive to enjoy it with your family. And guess what? Your mind, your soul will continue to prosper. You'll be wealthy, you'll be healthy, and you shall be wise. In the mighty name of Jesus. Bless your word, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Please sit down like the king that you are. This morning, we are taking more money to another level. And I'm going to be speaking on the subject matter, prospering by addiction to the kingdom. Prospering by kingdom addiction. By kingdom addiction. Amen. But before I do so, just a short recap on where we started from. Ladies and gentlemen, we began by saying money is so important. Money matters so much, it literally competes with oxygen for relevance. Just the way you can't breathe or you can't live without breathing. That's our life cannot be lived without money. Money is that important. We said, ladies and gentlemen, that money is exchange for life. Because when you go there from 8 o'clock till 6 o'clock in the evening and give 7 hours of your time. Really, you gave your life. So when they pay you at the end of the day, that money is an exchange for life. We also said that money is competition for your soul. The greatest contention with God over your soul is not the devil. It's not the devil. The Bible says you cannot worship God and mammon. Money is the greatest competition with God over your soul. That's why the Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? The 14, we said that money gives you the power of options. If they bounce your child today and say they won't give your child admission, you have options. Either go to Babcock, or you go to Covenant, or one other private university. Or even better still, if you have the money, just fly the child out of the country where they don't have JAMB. JAMB is a scam. Everybody says it's a scam. The biggest scam of this country is called JAMB. That's why JAMB only exists in Nigeria. It doesn't exist anywhere else in the world. Gentlemen, we also said that money gives you options. If today your child is feeling, no, your wife is not feeling well, there's a surgery that needs 1 billion naira, money gives you options. You can go to the best hospitals because you have money. And I pray you will have options in life in Jesus' name. Again, we said our money is a stronghold of destiny. And finally, and I didn't add this on my notes, money, ladies and gentlemen, I said the world is very merciless to the moneyless and the powerless. Say after me, the world is very merciless to the moneyless and the powerless. That's why you must have money. Say amen. You must have money. Look up here. Let nobody deceive you. There are doors you will never enter if you don't have money. There are parties you will never be invited if you don't have money. There are certain people that will not even take your call if you don't have money. Is anybody hearing me? It's just the sad fact or just the hard fact about life. You know, the worst part of it, a lot of the times, if you don't have money, you will not have justice. So, last election, all of us were here. We're praying, we're fasting, we're redoing voters' card. Nobody must buy a vote. You know what I'm talking about? All of us were saying, who's there? Nobody must buy a vote. And some people who have money said, oh, you people are talking about buying vote. We're not buying vote, we're buying INEC. So all of us were protecting votes. And they just left us and just brought cash and paid and put INEC in their pocket and walked away. And the case was over. Am I correct? And whether you like it or not, life goes on. Are you with me, somebody? They told us we didn't have machinery. What did they call it again now? Structure. And we were thinking structure is number. So all of us were making noise. I don't agree. They just kept quiet. And at the end of the day, they showed us that we don't have structure. Because the definition of structure in Nigeria is rigging machinery. Come on, are you with me, somebody? That's the definition of structure. Rigging, and it's money, it's option. It gives you option. I mean, one little girl ate tomato and felt that there was a little more sugar inside the tomato. And the girl just wrote small thing on Facebook. This particular tomato has sugar. It's too sugary. That's all. We didn't know that freedom of speech has been suspended in Nigeria. Until you are dealing with a man who has options. Come on, talk to me, somebody. And that lady has been dragged from one police station to another, even with her pregnancy. Even with pregnancy. In fact, the man who is dragging her said there's a place for pregnant women in prison. Sir, money, the world is very merciless to the moneyless and the powerless. Can I prophesy over you? You will have so much money, they will respect you. In your family, they will respect you. In your village, they will respect you. Rich men will bow and respect you. And guess what? You will have options in the name of Jesus. Are we still together this morning? Gentlemen, I said to you that to the child of God, the source or the foundation of your money is not your also. There's a place for also. There's a place for strategy. There's a place for all that. But the reels, all those things are channels. The real source of your money, I said, is the blessing. Everybody said the blessing. And please notice, also is important. Because you see, if you have the blessing and you don't also, you will make money. And if you have money and you don't have and you have money, but there's no blessing on top of your money, guess what? It also leads you to the same end. How do you know a blessed man? A blessed man is that man that if his shop burns in main market, so that's a main market, if his shop burns in Ogbete, guess what? As soon as the shop burns, he comes there, raises his hand and says, Father, I thank you. You are the one that giveth, you are the one that taketh. He walks away from there. 3 months later, he's richer than when the shop was burnt. You know, a man who doesn't have the blessing, that experience is the defining moment in his life. He never rises again. 5 years after, he's saying, I used to be a rich man 5 years ago until my shop was burnt. For the righteous, the Bible says, many are his afflictions. But what happens? He bounces back again. I prophesy over you, the blessing will speak for you. I reject that amen. I said it will speak for you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Last Sunday, I made it very clear. Miracle is a gift. The blessing is not a gift. Miracle is a gift. Healing is a gift. When it comes to the blessing, it is not a gift. No, it's not. Don't forget, from the very beginning, and he blessed them, and he said, go and be fruitful. But that was it. But I hope you still remember that by the time he wanted to do real business with Abraham, he called him and said, Abraham, can we work together? Abraham said, yes. He said, test number one, carry your load, leave your father's house. There's no address on the GPS, just be going. Abraham started the journey. The wife asked him, where are you going? He said, I don't know. He just said, be going. And then, after waiting for so how many years to get a child, finally God calls him and says, sacrifice the child. Abraham, in the spirit, offered up Isaac, according to Hebrews 11. Then God called him and said, now I know. In blessing, I bless you. In multiplying, I multiply you. So guess what? While miracles are a gift, the blessing is an investment. Somebody say investment. I can't hear you say investment. Can you say it louder? Say it's an investment. Ladies and gentlemen, every time a person makes an investment, guess what? That investment is pursuant to purpose and must be audited regularly for outcomes. So when you put money in that investment, you want to find out 2 years after, how far are we doing? Is it doing well or not? So this is the reason why, ladies and gentlemen, God, usually before he gives the blessing, this is what God does. He gives a little. And I describe it this way. I said, no matter how much you love madam, you love your wife, you give her 1 million, so honey, start business. She started it 3 months later, she shuts down. She came again and said, honey, I want to start another one. You give her another 1 million, she starts again. 3 months later, she's back to square zero. You do the third time, the fourth time, by the fifth time, you will call her and say, honey, I love you too much. And I do not want to fight with you. Can we try something else? You're not called to do business. Come on, gentlemen, am I correct? Or better still, your younger brother. You called him and said, you know what? Or he came to you and said, let's partner together, brother. Give me 1 million. I'll be returning 10,000 naira every month. And guess what? You gave him that money. First month, you didn't see him. 5 months, you didn't see him. By the 8th month, he shows up and says, the reason why I've not been bringing in 10,000 is because, you know, when I look at the profit, it's too small. But you know what? Give me another 5 million. Let me put it in a bigger business. The profit margin is going to move from 10,000 to 100,000 every month. Hallelujah. How many of you want to invest on that, brother? What he didn't know was that if he cannot account for 10,000 naira, nobody, only a madman will invest 5 million on him because he knows that 5 million will make him run mad. Am I correct? So oftentimes, before God puts the blessing on you, he tests you with a little. He watches your performance. Uncle, month has ended. Where is your tithe? Huh? You know, by the time I sorted landlord and sorted the children's school fee and sorted the other one, the money was not enough. But God, if you can give me a 5 million business, I will not just pay 10%, I'll pay 15%. And God looks at you and laughs. I say, no problem. Continue your stupidity. Are you still there, somebody? Why? Because he that is faithful in that which is little is the one that God gives much to. Am I correct? So understand, the blessing is always an investment. And guess what? After a while, you watch it, you audit it for the required outcome to see, is it making profit or are we doing badly? But can I prophesy over somebody? You will pass that test over and over, and God will entrust the wealth of nations in your hand in the name of Jesus. Can I hear a better amen, somebody? And one of the greatest things that provokes the blessing on a man's life is called purpose. Everybody say purpose. I can't hear you say purpose. Pastor, what do you mean by that? Now, listen to this. There are four areas where people always have encounters with God. Four areas. The number one area of encounter is called a place. Everybody say a place. The second is called a principle. Say a principle. I can't hear you say a principle. It's the obedience to kingdom principle. The third one is called prayer. Everybody say prayer. The final one is called purpose. Everybody say purpose. Pastor, I want to encounter God. One place you will always encounter God is called a place. Now, that's why church is a place you want to come to. Abraham, the Bible told us, had bought a piece of land, poured oil on it, and raised an altar. Many years later, Genesis 28, his grandson called Jacob was running away from his brother. He got to that particular place called Bethel, took a piece of stone, turned it to a pillow, and slept. That night, his eyes were open in a dream, a ladder and angels ascending and descending. The Bible says by the time he woke up, of course, God spoke to him. And then he realized, he woke up and said, God is in this place and I didn't know it. And then he said, this is indeed the house of God and the gates of heaven. What he did not know was that years ago, his father had raised an altar there. Come on, talk to me, somebody. Can you talk to me, somebody? This is the reason why there are some people who move into a house. Or you bought a piece of land, you did not dedicate it. You just pack your load and enter. Sorry for you, because 10 years or 5 years before you move into that house or bought that land, there was a pregnant woman that was buried. There was a widow that was slaughtered. There was sacrifice that took place. You didn't raise an altar. You just went there and pack your load, dress your bed and put your curtain. You will wait. At night, they will keep visiting your children. You will notice the children keep having bad dreams and nightmares. What you don't know is that it's a place of encounter. And altars are either negative or they are positive. Is anybody hearing me? This is the reason why when you come to church, it's always a place of encounter. That's why you come in, you return back and notice burdens are lifted. Sickness is gone. It's called a place. Everybody say a place. I can't hear you say a place. The second one is called a principle. Everybody say principle. So gentlemen, here was a gentleman called Cornelius, no Christian, no Jew. The gentleman just loved the people of God. The Bible says he gave alms continually and he loved the people. And he has even built them a synagogue. So guess what? He kept obeying these principles, not born again, even if he was a Muslim. And the Bible says one day God woke up Peter and said, this man is too good to go to hell. He's not born again, but he won't go to hell. You dust up your ass and go and preach to him. Give him the gospel, let him give his life. Because we have made up our mind that his sacrifices to the kingdom is too good. This man cannot go to hell. What happened to him? He obeyed the principle and he didn't have to be a Christian. If a Muslim obeys the principle, God will honor them. I prophesy over somebody, may God honor your sacrifice. May God honor your obedience to the principles. Can I hear a better amen, somebody? The third one is a prayer. There's a gentleman by the name of Jabez, born in pain and sorrow. Life has been miserable. One day he said, I can't take it anymore. And the Bible says, and Jabez cried unto the Lord, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. Oh, that thou wouldest enlarge my coast, and so on. And the Bible says, God granted him. The Bible says, at the end, he became more honorable than his brothers. There's something prayer does and gives you an encounter with God. And it changes the equation of your life. And I pray that as we bring this fasting season to an end, may God take you even deeper in the place of prayer and in the place of encounter in the name of Jesus. This morning, your amen is suffering from hunger. The final P is called purpose. Everybody say purpose. For the last time, can you say purpose? One of the greatest, if not the greatest place of encounter with God is purpose. So here comes a man called Cyrus. Everybody say Cyrus. The guy is a Babylonian king. He's very far from being born again. Doesn't know nothing about God. But God was in a crucial moment in history. The 70-year captivity was over. Israel must return back to Jerusalem. God was looking for a king he would partner with that was going to not only release them to go back, but also give them money to be able to go back and rebuild. And God, the Bible says, Cyrus have I anointed, I've called him my servant. He said, I partner with Cyrus. And the Bible says at the end of that scripture, it says, even though he does not know my name, but because I brought him into power, for such a time as this, I made him the governor of this land because I want to use him now to send Israel back to Jerusalem. This is the reason why, as a result of the purpose for which I raised him, I partner with him to bless him. And guess what, ladies and gentlemen? There are people actually who understand purpose very well, who take their business, and I'm not talking about their personal, their business, and they covenant it with God. How many of you have seen a lot of our Indians in our country? I've seen some of them in their businesses. How many of you see those idols in their shops? Anybody who knows what I'm talking about? Please answer me. And before they do anything, as they show up in the morning, they burn incense. Come on. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? They burn incense. This is not home now. Notice they have at home, but this is not home. Right in that supermarket, they have those idols. They have the elephants. They have the other one. They have the other ones. And they do it. When Sunak was made Prime Minister of Britain, the first thing he did at number 10 Downing was to bring a sacrifice. You saw it. Right before the whole camera of the whole world, he made his prayer there and covenanted the office. Somebody say purpose. Only Christians don't do that. Unbelievers understand how that power and position was meant for purpose to serve a kingdom. Are you hearing me, somebody? God anointed an Eden king because he was going to fulfill purpose in returning Israel back to Egypt. In your business, may God find purpose. In your investment, may God find purpose. In your job, may God find purpose. Say loud amen. All right. So, Pastor, why does God bless his children? Why does God want us to be blessed? And I'll run through that very quickly, and we'll move on to the main message for today. Number one, why does God bless us? Why does he want us to be blessed? God wants you to be blessed so you can chop life. Somebody say chop life. I can't hear you say chop life. 1 Timothy 6:17. How many of you know God wants you to chop life? Okay, you don't believe that. 1 Timothy 6:17. Charge them that are rich in the world that they not be high-minded. That even though they are rich, they should never put their trust in uncertain riches. It calls riches uncertain. Because today they can be, tomorrow they are gone. Don't put your trust in them. He said, but put your trust in the living God who giveth us what? Richly. All things to do what? To chop life. You will chop life. Look at your neighbor and say, chop life fit you. Again, I declare you will chop life. See, I shared a story in the first service. I know I don't have time, but let me just share it in the second service. I shared a story how many years ago, when we go for House on the Rock Synod, which is our pastor's conference, we used to do it in Abuja then. I jump into bus, ninth bus. I show up after conference. I enter ninth bus. I go back home. And then I got married to my first wife. My wife, Jesus, blood of Moses. It's only one wife I have, oh. I wanted to say she was pregnant with my first daughter. So please, baby, you're my first wife, oh. And you're my last wife. In Jesus' name, oh. Devil is a liar and his mother-in-law. All right. So, guys, my wife was pregnant with our first baby. Went for synod. At the end of synod, as we shared the grace, everybody headed towards Abuja Airport. Boarded a flight and left. Me and my wife headed towards Utako. Ninth bus. We two boarded our flight. Somebody say, flight, now flight. We jump into the bus. As we're heading towards Lokoja, 10 p.m., suddenly the bus screeched to a halt. Other buses are stopped. People were jumping out of window. They say, armed robbers are operating. My pregnant wife started running with pregnancy. First time pregnancy. She collapsed. She fainted. We poured water on her. Some Hausa women in the village started pouring water on her and all that and resuscitated her. We thought that was the end of the ordeal. We entered the bus after 2 hours. Journey continued. This journey was to Port Harcourt. We got to Abai, it was raining cats and dogs. And the bus driver said, well, this is where my journey ends. All of you from Port Harcourt, find your way from here. I took this pregnant woman again, heavy with pregnancy. Under cats and dog rain, we entered. She was soaked. And then we started looking for another bus. We entered that bus. We finally got to Port Harcourt. And I said to my wife, kneel down. She knelt down. I knelt down with her. I said, repeat after me. Say, Father. Father, This is the last time. This is the last time we enter boss. We enter boss. From now on, we enter into a covenant with you. We must chop life. So we must chop life in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. That's the last time I entered boss with my wife. I made up my mind. God has given us riches freely for us to do what? Enjoy. See, you will chop life. Now, whether you don't want to chop life or not, you have already made a mistake by coming here. I declare you will chop life. See, money good. I made up my mind. See, this life, I go chop him. You will chop it. I said you will chop it. Pastor, why does God want us to prosper? Number two. He wants to use you to establish his goodness. God wants to show the world that he's a good God. Let your neighbors just look at you and say, where do you say you go to church again? Where do you say you attend service again? Maybe I just want to follow you one of these days and just check out whether this is my own condition can change. Come on, are you with me, somebody? God wants to use you to establish his goodness. Psalms 92 verse 12. And the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. It shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bring forth fruit even at old age. They shall be fat and flourish. Now everybody read with verse 15 with me to go. Why is God flourishing you? Why is he making you to bear fruit? Why? Verse 15, everybody to go. To show that God is not mismanaging your destiny. The Bible says he is upright and there is no unrighteousness in him. Do you remember Hebrews says he is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love? My God, can you talk to me, somebody? God wants you to understand that it is unrighteous of him not to bless you. It's unrighteous of him. That was why Isaiah prophesied to one guy is going to die, Hezekiah the king. And the guy said, me die like that? No. Let's check the account. Say, God, sit down. What are we talking about here? I've done this, I've done that, I've done that. We don't die like that. God said it was a slip of tongue. Isaiah, return back, give him 15 years more. That was a very terrible mistake I made. Come on, are you still there, somebody? It's not unrighteous. He can't terminate destiny like that, not after all you have done. God wants to use you in your family, he will use you to show. In your village, he will use you to show. I said in the community, God will use you to show. He will make men look at your car, look at your house, look at your children and say, I think it is a good God to serve. It is good to serve this God. For your sake, men will come to church in the name of Jesus. Number three, why does God want to bless you, sir? God wants to bless you because he wants you to be a blessing. He wants you to be a blessing. He wants you to be a blessing. For the last time, he wants you to be a blessing. Somebody say a blessing. I can't hear you say a blessing. For the last time, say a blessing. Do you have that video? Is it queued already or is it not queued already? Okay, if it's not queued, let me go on. Look up here, everybody. Look up here. Don't play it without informing me. All right? Genesis 12, verse 2. He was speaking to Abraham. He says, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. And then he says, and you shall be, Genesis 12, verse 2, and you shall be a blessing. And in verse 3, he said, it is through you, every family in the world shall be blessed. Can I prophesy over you? Because of you, others will be blessed. I reject that. Amen. I say, because of you, many people will be blessed. It was in this church I was sharing last Sunday, one of our beloved sisters in the house, who was sharing a very touching testimony with me of how she got a house help less than 1 month after the girl arrived. She was diagnosed, needed a surgery, and she wanted to return the child back. This girl just came 1 week ago. I cannot come and inherit a problem I don't know about. And God said, no, take care of the girl. Look after the girl. Cut a long story short, she spent almost 10 million naira, carried out a surgery on that girl. Even the doctor who did the surgery came and said, Madam, are you normal? Say, nobody does this thing that you do. Oh, close to 10 million on a girl that has been with you for 1 month with no guarantee she will remain with you after now. May God make you a blessing. I said, may God make you a blessing in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Please understand that God has called us into a land not filled with milk and honey, but flowing. but flowing. Why? Because as it comes to you, God wants it to flow to channels of people that needs to be helped. And can I say to you, there's no way God will want to ever really prosper you if you don't have a soft heart for the poor. Is anybody hearing me? It's part of my teaching, but not for today. But if you do not have a soft heart for the poor, God would, there are some things God will never put on you, because sometimes he brings the blessing, not because of you, you're already blessed, but because there are some people that he wants to channel the blessing to through your hand. May God depend on you in the name of Jesus. I said, may it depend on you in the mighty name of Jesus. The fourth reason why God blesses you, ladies and gentlemen, is so you can be a partner with him in this kingdom agenda. That you can be a partner with him in the kingdom agenda. Ladies and gentlemen, God does have an agenda. And there's no argument about that. He does have an agenda. Genesis chapter 8 makes it very clear. Let's begin from Genesis 8 from verse 7. It says, for the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks and water, of fountains and depths and springs and valleys and hills. But then he now says in the next verse, when you are eating, did I say Genesis? Deuteronomy, I'm so sorry. Deuteronomy, that was my fault. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 10 now. Go to verse 10 now. It says, when you are eating and you are full, thou shalt also do what? Bless the Lord thy God for the land which he hath given thee. Go to the next verse, verse 11, which is my emphasis. Beware that thou do what? Forget not. Listen to this. There are many Christians, the moment the blessing comes, they forget. They forgot how they got there. They forgot who truly gave it to them. Many Christians will be committed and faithful until the breakthrough comes. As soon as it comes, they say, well, you know what? Let me settle some things first. Let me take care of some business first. Then I will begin to give to God. And that is the beginning of their forgetfulness. And I say to a lot of Christians, listen to this. The moment God blesses you, having seen purpose in you, and you forget, and you suddenly turn your back on God, you are setting up yourself for what I call a downward spiral of calamity and trouble you may never recover from. Is anybody hearing me? When God blesses you, please never forget him. Never forget the fact that he put the money in your hand, not necessarily because of you. How much food can you eat? How many beds will you sleep on? How many cars will you drive at the same time? By the way, if it, have you noticed that the richer you become, the fewer your food? Are you in church, somebody? The moment you become rich, suddenly they come and say, ah, you don't eat meat again. You don't eat the other one again. When you were poor, you were allowed to eat everything. Am I right? And I think God intentionally did it that way. So we always realize as people God has blessed, it's not about your stomach. Please talk to me, somebody. Ask most of the rich men here. If you see the food they eat, you don't want to be rich. Are you still there, somebody? Please talk to me. Are you still there? All right. So, gentlemen, please understand this. God is looking for people to do partnership with. There are people in this church that when I think about them, I say, Lord, thank you. I'm the pastor of this church. Why? Because except they didn't hear about the need in the house. There are some of them, once they hear me crying, and not when I say crying now, I'm crying about a particular issue. They don't talk to me. 3 months later or 2 months later, I'll just get a call. XYZ has bought speakers or has brought the other one. They've dropped it on the altar. They walk away. They don't even talk to you. And they include some of my pastors. Some of them just walk and they bought microphones and they've dropped. And they do it not because of anything. You see, I look up the definition of the word addict. Because we're talking about prosperity by kingdom addiction. I look up the word addict. Everybody say addict. I can't hear you say addict. This is the definition I got for the word addict. Are you still there, somebody? It says, a person who cannot stop doing something or stop using something is like cocaine. They can't, except they didn't hear about it. There are sons in this house, except they didn't hear about a need I have. If they, I intentionally don't tell them sometimes because once I tell them, they lose sleep. Until they make sure it is done, they don't sleep. There are sons like that in this house. But guess what? This is God's desire. That the Bible said, David only thought aloud. What they call soliloquy, am I correct? He said, I wish I can drink the waters of Bethlehem. He didn't send anybody. He didn't give an instruction. It was a thinking aloud. The Bible says 4 men endangered their lives, broke the garrisons in the rivers of Bethlehem, and they went and fetched water. David saw it and said, what did you do? They say, it's from Bethlehem. They say, David say, it cannot be from Bethlehem. They said, sir, this water is from Bethlehem. David said, I can't drink it. This is not water. This is your blood. Because your life literally was put on the line to fetch this water. I can't drink this water. I pour it back to God. I pray, may God make you one of those sons in this house in Jesus' name. May God make you one of those daughters in this house in the name of Jesus. Can you shout a loud amen, somebody? Somebody he can partner with. Procter and Gamble began with Procter when he was a small boy, committed to God. And one day, he was reading the scriptures about perfume. I think Song of Solomon about perfume. And then he was selling, I think, tissue paper. He now said that, why don't I add perfume to my product, make my product smell nice and good? Something like that. And he said to God, God, if you will bless this business, I'm returning 40% to you. Let's be partners. That's the beginning of a great story called Procter and Gamble. That guy, God said, deal? He said, deal. They signed the deal. And the guy began to perfume his products. A friend joined him called Gamble. Both of them came together. And that was the explosion. Today, all over the world, Procter and Gamble is one of the big deal when it comes to utilities that people use. Wow! What happened? It was partnership. Somebody say partnership. May your business become a partner with God in the name of Jesus. I said, may your business become a partner with God in the name of Jesus. Shout a living amen, somebody. Pastor, let me go straight to the message for the day. I've not even started the message for the day. Are you still there, somebody? Everything I've done so far is introduction. All right. So now let's enter the message for the day. Now, there are four major addictions that I want you to note if you want to be a kingdom addict. Number one is addiction to the presence of God. Number two is addiction to the house of God. Number three is addiction to personal evangelism. I dealt with that in first service. The fourth one is addiction to caring for the poor. Caring for the poor. Caring for the poor. I will talk about that another day. Let me, in the next few minutes, run through today addiction to the house of God. Everybody say the house of God. For the last time, say the house of God. For the last time, say the house of God. Ladies and gentlemen, the church is the most important project that God has on earth. The most important project of God on earth is not the war in Ukraine. It's not the election in America coming up. The most important thing in the house of God is not the economy of Nigeria. The greatest thing that borders God on earth is the church. Pastor, why is the church so important? It's not on my slide, but let me mention to you five things. Before then, Isaiah chapter 2 verse 2 says, it shall come to pass. Isaiah 2 says, it shall come to pass that in the last days, the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of every other mountain. And what happens? Shall be exalted above the hills so that every nation will flow into it. Everybody say flow into it. Please look up here. This is kindergarten. We said over the years that there are mountains of influence that shaping culture and influence human conduct and generally rules over society. We said that over and over. We said that when Jesus was taken by Satan to the mountain and said, and he showed him the kingdoms of this world, kingdom in the plural, and the glory of them, and said, I will give any of this one to you if you bow down and worship me. The word kingdom there was in heaven. It was talking about the spheres of influence, or the mountains of influence, or the things that shaping culture in society. And we generally paraphrase them to seven of them. We said there's the mountain of religion, the mountain of the family, the mountain of education, the mountain of business, the mountain of government and the military, the mountain of arts and entertainment, and of course the mountain of media and communication. But look up here, ladies and gentlemen. All these mountains, at the end of the day, they still flow to the mountain of the house of the Lord. Seated here are media moguls. Seated here are professors. Seated here are multi-billionaire businessmen. Seated here are people in education. Seated here are people in government. Seated here are people who are in different spheres or the other. On Sunday morning, everybody flows back to this place. That's why the church is very important. Pope John Paul was being interviewed many years ago. And they said to him, Pope, what's up? The world is changing. The church, how far? They say, men are marrying men now. Definition of marriage has changed. Now everybody can become anything. Say, Pope, when will the church also adapt to the change going on in the world? And Pope John Paul looked at him and said, the church will not change. The church is the standard. The church is the standard. Can I say this to you? The moral compass of the world is the church. I repeat, the moral, what is still making people feel guilty that there is bad and good is the church. Please talk to me, somebody. That people still come and feel guilty for doing bad and repent and say, God, it's because remove the church. I give mankind exactly 3 months. You will not be able to go to work and come back safely. You know why? The church is the moral compass of the nation. Is anybody hearing me? Number two, the church is the factory. I just want to run through this list. It's the factory that produces and services kingdom influencers. Did you hear what I said? It's the factory that produces. After producing the car, they return back and they service the car every Sunday. That's why we call this thing service. It's a place where every one of us go out there, do our thing, we return back. And as you come back, guess what? There is a servicing. There is a servicing. There's a word that comes to you and says, you need to adjust this. You don't need to treat your wife like this. You don't need to do this. The last time you lied, it wasn't good and so on. The Bible says you are cleansed by the word I've spoken to you. You walk in here, they're servicing. Not only does the church produce the influencers, guess what? It also has a way of keeping their head down and putting them in shape. It's the factory that does that. Number three, the church, ladies and gentlemen, is the place where men connect and reconnect with God. This is where men find God. This is indeed the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. This is where men connect with God. And when you go out there and you fall out of connection, you return back and you reconnect back to God again. Please, am I correct, somebody? Answer me, am I correct, somebody? Number four, the church is the light that brightens the darkness of this world. The Bible said the whole world lies in what? In darkness. That's why the Bible says we are the light of the world. We are the light of the world. We are the light of the world. And guess what? Even in places, sir, where they don't call Jesus, where they don't go to church, go and check their history. What's shaping their culture over time was the gospel that discipled the nation. We don't have time to go into that. But I've talked about this like a million times over and over when I spoke about Britain, for example, the cradle of civilization, the bedrock of the world civilization, how that the revivals of the John Wesley and the rest of them was the major transformation that broke forth a revival and led to the change of culture in Britain and brought light and civilization to those people. And that civilization has spread across the whole world over time, particularly in the guise of colonization. And today the whole world is talking about integrity, honesty, and the rest of them. Not because of anything. It's all the Bible. Even your democracy was born by the word. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Legislation, executive, and judiciary is the light of the world. That's why the Bible says in him was life. That life is the civilization of the men of the world. I pray that that light will shine in your life in the name of Jesus. Finally, ladies and gentlemen, the church is God's only hope of taking the gospel around the world. Ladies and gentlemen, very quickly, let me speak to you about, are you still there? Come on, talk to me. Are you still there? I have 5 minutes to go, but let me quickly run through this. So, gentlemen, this is what happens. Every time you understand the importance of the church, please understand that this project called the church is so important to God that God wants you to understand that it's a project he does not joke with. So when you are a part of the church, please understand you have a responsibility to do Matthew 33 now, where it says, seek ye first the kingdom. Put it first. Put God above everything, above family, above business. Put him first. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first. The moment you put him second, you are already violating something called the church. You are abusing the church. Put it first. Put it first. This is God's will. Now, let me just give you this. In one of the biggest problems we have in church is that we don't take time to audit our lives. and audit our outcomes and our results and see how far our choices and decisions take us. So here are two guys, two of them earn 100,000. At the end of the month, instead of 100,000, the one that is stupid and foolish decided to pay tithe. So he's left with 90,000. The one that is smart and wise did not pay tithe, and he went away with it. Ladies and gentlemen, 30 days in front of them, 90,000, 100,000, even though both of them started with 100,000. This one was so stupid, he gave 10% to God. But guess what? What many people do not do, that's why I talk of auditing your life, is the fact that 1 week into the 100,000 of this man, his car has been to the mechanic 3 times. 30,000 is gone. The second week, there was a call from home. They had to send money for an emergency medical whatever. Another 10,000 is gone. Then, while he's trying to deal with that one, there was a police case somewhere in the yard that dragged everybody to the police station. Just to say, make you sign paper, our car come out. 10K is gone. Are you still with me, somebody? By the time the month is coming to an end, he has successfully expended at least 70,000 naira just fighting and putting out fires. Is anybody hearing me? The other guy who was stupid enough to pay 10% as tithe, guess what happens to him? He discovered that 1 week into the new month, somebody just saw me and said, I've just been thinking about how the last time you prayed for me, something, just hold this 10,000 naira. 100,000 has arrived. And then as he's moving on, he discovered that people are giving him things. His money is not buying them, but he's spending more, he's getting more than his money in his hand. Does anybody understand what I'm talking about? Yes, it too has a few problems to solve. By the time the month is ended, maybe he has spent 10,000 naira to solve problem, but the cash gift alone he has received from people is over 30,000 naira added to his 10,000 naira. Now, at the end of the day, the first guy who is smart, who didn't pay tithe, says, thank God I have the money to pay the tithe, to solve all the problem. What he didn't know was that those problems were actually devourers that came in to attack his finances because of his foolishness, which he thinks he was smart. That was why he told them in the book of Haggai. He said, look, you guys come. He said, you people think you are smart. He said, give me Haggai chapter 2. Let me read that scripture with you Haggai chapter 1, I'm sorry. Haggai 1 verse 6. Give me verse 5. Haggai 1, 5. Verse 5. Let's start with that. Now therefore, says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Next verse. You have sown much, you bring in little. You eat, but you don't have enough. You drink, you're not filled with drink. You wear clothes, but there's not enough warmth in you. And he that is earning salary is putting it in a bag with holes. Bag with holes. Next verse. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Jump to verse 3. What was the genesis of this one? Go back to verse 3. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet saying, next verse. Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses? And this house, the church, lies waste. Next verse. Now therefore, thus says the Lord, consider your ways. Now, everybody look up here. If you move now to go with me to chapter 2, verse 18. Now, God has rebuked them. God has chastised them. God has said, you know what, you guys are misbehaving and all that. And after God did that, now they now repented. And I said, okay, you know what, God, we are sorry. Now we are going to do the right thing. We are going to prioritize our finances. We are going to put you first. The moment they came to that house that was lying waste, and they laid the foundation of the house, verse 18, God said, from this day that you change your priorities and you put me number one, consider now from this day and upward, from the 420th day of the ninth month, blah, 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 and so on and so forth. This day that you laid the foundation of the temple. Go to the next verse. God said, up till now is the seed yet in the barn. Yea, as yet the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree. I know that up till now you've been struggling. You've been putting money in a bag with oats. Nothing is going on in your life up till now. Okay? He said, but from today that you laid the foundation of the temple, Today that you decided to give me my due attention, he said, from this day, I will bless you. See, Pastor, what are the blessings or the benefits of being addicted to the house of God? Number one. Are you there, somebody? Okay. Okay, before I just mention that, what does it mean to be addicted to the house of God? Number one, what does it mean to be addicted to the house of God? Number one, you appear in Zion. It means you don't toil with church. You don't toil with programs. As much as you can, midweek service, you are there. 90% of the people here only come to church on Sundays. Why is it like that? What is it about the house of God that you are not excited about? That Wednesday is different from Sunday? Sir, can I say this to you? Most of the times, the word of God that comes on a Wednesday meeting, we have greater time to express and to teach than Sunday. And yet, most people will never come to church. David said, I was glad when they say, let's go to the house of God. How do we know you are addicted? You don't joke with appearing in Zion. Number two, it is putting the building of the house of God first. And when I say building now, I don't mean a physical structure. It's called service. Everybody says service. Everybody says service. It is giving your time to serve. Pastor, my business is so busy, I don't have time. Listen to this. There are people in this church who are busier than you, richer than you, bigger than you in the place of work. They are ushers, they are security, they are protocol, they are serving. You can serve. Don't tell. Listen, if you are too busy to serve in the house of God, you are too busy indeed. Did you hear what I said? If you are too busy to serve in church, sir, you are too busy indeed for life. Number three, it means caring for the needs of the priests of the house. There are people who minister the word of God to you. It is scriptural to every now and then find out, how are they doing? Is there food in their house? Are their children okay? It is taking, being addicted to the house of God is looking after the priest in the house of God. Ladies and gentlemen, this is where I go to Psalm 1. Number four, it is caring for the needs of the poor in the house. We've spoken about that, so let me just quickly go. How do you attract more money? By being a kingdom addict, in being addicted to the house of God. Where is the blessing in being addicted to the house of God? Number one, it activates the mercy and the favor of God in your life. It activates mercy. Psalm 102, that's the scripture I wanted to read. Psalm 102 verse 13, give it to me quick. Psalm 102 verse 13. When you are addicted to the house, mercy is activated. Grace is activated. Favor is activated. I prophesy over you, all three will be yours in the name of Jesus Christ. I activate mercy on your behalf. Favor on your behalf. Grace on your behalf. I can't hear an amen. Amen. Psalm 102 verse 13. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion. For the time to favor you, the set time is come. Verse 14. Now please look at verse 14, is the main thing. It says, for my servants take pleasure in our stones, and they favor the dust thereof. Let me look up here, everybody. It's saying, You are excited about the dust, the building blocks, the stones that is used to build the house of God. Because you are excited, you take pleasure in it. He said, I activate your set time of favor. Many people quote that scripture without knowing the prerequisite for the scripture. The prerequisite is that you take pleasure. You are addicted to the house of God. Is anybody hearing me? May you fall in love with the church in the name of Jesus. I can't hear you. May you fall in love with the church in the name of Jesus. Number two, the principles that are taught you in this house, ladies and gentlemen, they help you in productive living. Productive living. Now, life class is coming a few minutes from now. These are professionals. Years of experience in their profession. They will teach you. We stand here, we preach, we teach you. We share information with you that business classes or business schools will not give to you. Guess what? Those things upscale your life every time you keep coming to the house of God. Number three, because kingdom service always activates covenant reward. Kingdom service always activates covenant reward. I'm going to say this to you as I close. Pastor, I don't have time to serve in the house of God. I'm very busy because I want to look after my family. Can I say this to you, sir? You cannot look after your family apart from God. Are you hearing me, somebody? How did David put it in Psalm 126? Accept the Lord. Except the Lord. He said, it is vain for you to stay awake late into the night and jump up 4 a.m. hustling and pursuing because you want to make sure you take care of them. You can't look, you don't have the ability to look after your family apart from him. It takes only one careless friend that will introduce one small substance called tramadol, and that your son is gone forever. But that will never be your portion in the name of Jesus. But this is the point I'm making. Make him number one. Put him first. Except the Lord, there's not much you can do. Shall we pray? As we pray this morning, can you say after me, Heavenly Father, make me an addict of your kingdom. Make me a lover of your house. I commit myself to being the one who is in partnership with the kingdom of God and with the house of God. I commit myself to be one of the people who build, who are pillars in the house of God. I declare, as a pillar, I shall flourish. I shall continue to flourish to show that God is a good God. I thank you for the privilege of sonship. And today, I enter into partnership with you. And by my commitment to the house of God, Father, I declare, I shall prosper. I shall prosper. I shall prosper in the mighty name of Jesus. My Father, I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice. Bless us. Let this word that we have received this morning become a pivot in our lives. Let it be a defining word in our lives that will change a lot of us and bring us into the consciousness that every blessing we have today does not end with us. Like the Sea of Galilee, it passes through us and makes us a fruitful field. Bless us, our Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. If you are here, you're not born again, I have 1 minute to pray with you. Wherever you are, you want to say, Pastor, I want to give my life to Jesus. Can you put your hand on your chest as I pray this last prayer? Say after me, Heavenly Father, I know I'm a sinner, but I have need of redemption. Lord Jesus, I ask for you for your forgiveness of my sins. Come into my heart and make me a child of God. I thank you because my life will never be the same again. In Jesus' name I pray. I want to pray for you. Father, I pray that the hand of God will rest upon these ones. The same grace that brings salvation will appear to them. Their lives will be transformed and they will never be the same again. Let the power of sonship now be given to them. And let today be the beginning of a brand new life for them. I thank you because I know our prayers are answered. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Can you say a loud amen? Can you say?
We hope that you've been richly blessed by this message. For inquiries or to listen to more of Pastor Edwin Bayebo's messages, kindly log on to www.hotrenugump3.com. That is www.hotrenugump3.com to download. Truly, the word works.